comics have been scaring readers for years. Is there anyone brave enough to sit down with their creators? This is Discussions with Decapitated Dan.
This week on Discussions with Decapitated Dan, writer Dirk Manning is back for his sixth appearance on the show. Discussions with Decapitated Dan is brought to you by Curious Goods and Comics.com. Don't be afraid to lose your head over all the savings. Curious Goods and Comics.com. Where Decapitated Dan gets his books.
So, welcome everybody to this week's Discussions with Decapitated Dan. Entering the ring for his sixth time, Dirk Manning!
Ding, 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 ding! It's early, that's all I got.
Wow. That's alright, last time you screamed five times into my ear.
Yeah, well, I specifically thought about that, and I'm like, wow, I don't want to... You probably finally got your hearing back.
I did.
So I didn't want to ruin it. So I'm sitting here, you can't see it, but I'm like invisible boxing right now and like dancing around in a robe and a Speedo with a top hat and a scarf on. Like, yeah, okay.
Oh, I should have said Dirkus Manningus.
Dirkus Manningus. Oh. Oh, it's been a long time.
You know what? Here, this is just to prove this. Brand Fowler tells me that you're a wrestling fan, and I go and search Dirk Manning on YouTube, and a wrestler comes out.
Yes, that is not me. I found that out a little while back. That there's some dude named Dirk Manning who is actually like a wrestler, and of course he's like, I've never met the guy. I hope to one day meet him. So I don't mean this as a slight. But he's kind of like a smaller indie level, like emaciated, kind of blue collar. I don't quite understand his gimmick. I haven't watched a lot of it because it's kind of weird. But I one day maybe there'll be like the super cage match of like Dirk Manning versus Dirk Manning. I think I could take him. I'm pretty mean. I'm pretty feisty. My moveset is limited but very effective. So we'll see. I mean, I'm already an arm wrestling contest champion. So, I mean, how much harder could it be to be professional wrestling champion?
That's right. Maybe you got to do the best of both worlds.
I'm an eating contest champion, arm wrestling contest champion. So, that would be a nice trifecta.
The other Dirk Manning better fucking watch out.
Watch your back. I better watch out because, you know, like the guy will come up to me. He'll be like all juiced up and stuff like, what up, dude? Like, want a comic? I'll sign it for you. I'll sign anything. Please don't hurt me, mister.
You know what would be funny is I'm just going to randomly say that this other Dirk is in Florida. Right. If people in Florida go to comic book shows thinking you're there.
It's me. Well, the thing is, I've never reached out to try to contact the guy. And he's never reached out to contact me either. So, I don't know. I don't know if he's aware. I mean, he's got to be aware.
You're just going to get sued in 20 years.
For my name. Right. Like, really? I'll tell you what's really funny is once in a while I get emails. There's a third Dirk Manning. And apparently he's very affluent. And he's a broker. I don't know exactly. He does a lot of stuff with real estate. So occasionally I'll get emails that obviously are meant for the third Dirk Manning. And it's like, oh, about the house. And we had to switch this house to that house and blah, blah, blah. And I used to like reply to the emails and like, hey, you got the wrong guy. Maybe, you know, change the email address a little or whatever. Now I just read them. Mm-hmm. So I can like live vicariously through like the third Dirk Manning. So it's like, you know, yeah, I'm a big professional wrestling fan. of good professional wrestling. So like I can like, you know, like imagine, oh, there's like the Earth 2 Dirk Manning, who's like this wrestler, but kind of like small and weak, because like really he should be a writer anyway, even though I'm obviously not small and weak. Not that I'm like a big roid freak or anything, but I'm just right. I'm just right, Dan.
That's funny.
Yeah, then you got the other Dirk Manning, who's like this rich, like real estate mogul and stuff like that, and occasionally like Fringe or something, like these emails might the alternate universe flip in, and why Dirk, we've been having some issues down in Las Vegas, and I mean, it's just fascinating, man. It's like, wow, cool.
As a writer, are you ever tempted to write them back and sell a house? Just be like, oh, show up at 6, I'm going to show you, you know, the fireplace, and the fireplace has a secret hideout inside of it, and all this.
Right. There's been a ritual killings at that house lately. So there's a fine line, Dan, between voyeurism and email fraud. So, I mean, I don't know the email's not meant for me until I open it, at which time I then make sure it's not for me by reading the whole thing. And making sure that indeed it's not for me, I then do the ethical thing and I delete them.
Okay.
And that's my story, and I'm sticking to it.
Here's the funny thing, because the first thing we always ask on this show, in case no one's ever, you know, heard of you or this is their first time tuning in, we say, who are you and what do you do? Well, since this is your sixth time on the show.
Sixth time!
It's hilarious that we described the two other Dirk Manning.
That's all you guys need to know at this point. I'm not the professional wrestler, and I'm not the mortgage broker. I'm the other one, the one with the top hat that writes for Image Comics. That's me. But I don't have the top hat in person at conventions, so don't be disappointed. I don't wear the scarf and the getup. It's be very uncomfortable and who are they talking like this anyway? So no, and you can't drink a Shirley Temple through a scarf. I've tried.
All right, well, we're here and we know you. And you like to talk, and we have our new format. So let's make sure we get to the meat of the story. You came to me, and you said, Dan, I got Hollywood news. And I said, Dirk, I'm having you on the show, and you're going to tell us about it. So I'm just going to let you start it off. What is the Hollywood news?
I've been teasing about it, and I've made little references to it here and there, but the official blowing it wide open, I guess, version. Oh! We didn't mention about the 13 thing though.
No, we'll get to that. We're going to get to that.
Oh, we're going to get to that. Okay. I'm just teasing people out now. I'm just being a jerk. I've been so cryptic for so long. Sorry. basically what happened is, I was, tapped or commissioned or hunted down. I guess literally in this case, I was hunted down, to write a short film for Black Box TV. And for people that aren't aware of Black Box TV, here's kind of a little history about them. A guy by the name of Tony Valenzuela, he very much a DIY, do-it-yourself guy. And for a while, he was making these really high-quality, short, you know, 8-minute, give or take, 5, 6, 8 minutes, horror films and posting them on YouTube. Doing it all himself, very, very, very high caliber stuff. This isn't like my Siri phone's a serial killer. No. I mean, this is like really top notch, kind of Twilight Zone-ish kind of stuff. You know, kind of, honestly, got Nightmare World-ish kind of stuff in a way. Very, very good stuff. And I was aware of Black Box TV. I discovered them while I was on YouTube one day, like a lot of people are, and I was just kind of looking at different stuff. And I really like this band called Scala. And if you ever saw the old trailers for The Social Network, and they had the all-female Belgian choir doing like an a cappella-ish version of Creep.
Okay.
That's them. You know, it's like it's just all-female choir, and they do mainly like covers of pop songs, but slow them down and make them real ethereal and stuff. Well, anyway, long story short, I had discovered Black Box TV because Tony had used one of their covers in one of his films. And I discovered this, what's this Black Box TV? Oh, the song's the movie. Oh, I'll check it out. And it was fantastic. It really blew me away. And I watched a bunch of the other movies and just really felt like, wow, man, this is really, really cool. Okay, whatever. Then you go back to Epic Rap Battles of History or whatever, and then you go on your way. Couple months later, after I first discovered them, I was on Facebook, probably posting about Mystery or something. And I see I get a friend request from this guy, Tony Valenzuela. I'm like, I know that name. I know that name. How do I know that name? And I look, and I look at his page, because I'm not one of the people that goes through and just blindly accepts every friend request I get. I'm actually getting, like, dangerously close to that 5,000 limit, which I don't. And the weird thing is, I never have been that guy. I'm like, oh, I accept everyone. No. You know, it's like, send me a message. Say something, you know. I mean,
sure.
I'd like to know you a little bit.
Tell me that you're alive, damn it.
Yeah, tell me you're real. Do something. I mean, you know. But so I always kind of go through my friend requests. I get a little time, like on a Saturday or whatever, and I'll go through my friend requests, and I'll kind of look at people's pages, see who's who, if they're just collectors or spam bots or whatever. And I see that information, he works at Black Box TV, and I'm like, no way. Because, I mean, I loved these films, dude. Loved them. Like, if I was a different person, I probably would have, like, downloaded them all onto, like, my computer and, like, saved them as DVDs or something. You know, I mean, they're, like, that good. And I'm like, the first thought that enters my mind is I'm like, no way. They got to, like, they have some sort of, like, technology that they can track who watches their videos and then, like, reverse engineer it and hunt them down on Facebook? Which I because literally, I'm like, how does this guy know? How did this guy find me? How does he know who I am? So anyway, I accept the request, and like immediately I get a message. Turk, this is Tony V from Black Box TV. I just want to tell you I'm a huge fan of your work, blah, blah, blah. And I've been trying to hunt you down. I've been trying to get a hold of you through Image, and you know, I contacted them trying to get a hold of you. I really love Nightmare World, man. So then, of course, I'm like typing back like, no way! I'm a big fan of you, too! You know, like these two little schoolgirls just giddy, just like going back and forth, talking. Well, it ends up what happened was, and this is what's really crazy, he obviously is a fan of horror, the horror genre, and likes comics. He was on Comixology one day and just looking for something new to read and saw Nightmare World Volume 1 on Comixology. He's like, hey, that looks pretty cool. He downloads it. I just tore through it in one night and just loved it. Downloads Volumes 2 and 3, also available, Nightmare World Volume 2 and 3 in Comixology, plows through them and is just wigging out and loves it and fell in love with it. And he's like, yeah, you know, and I ended up calling him on the phone and we were talking. Because I'm like, man, I could talk to this dude. He's like, you know, I'm pretty reclusive. I don't, you know, usually I do my living online. It's easier and I can do it at a time frame I like. But I ended up talking to him on the phone, stuff like that, you know, and he really liked one of the stories. I sent him a signed script for it and stuff, and he was just totally wigging out. Well, he told me, he's like, dude, he goes, I got this big thing going on. Now, mind you, whenever someone involved with anything, you know, but usually, especially when you say Hollywood, he's like, yeah, I got, you know, got these big things, like Hollywood stuff going on and blah, blah, blah. And it's going to be like a really big deal, dude. We're like totally relaunching Black Box. It's going to be huge. Right. Everyone's got something big going on. Everyone's got a movie deal. Well, okay, cool. Whatever. You know, I mean, it gets, you know.
Yeah.
You get
I know
to,
what you mean.
Yeah, it's like, okay, you get to a point where you kind of treat that stuff with a grain of salt. It's like, oh, yeah, well, that's cool, man. Good for you. Well, he starts talking more and more about it, and what he originally wanted to do was, I guess, buy the rights to adapt at least one of the Nightmare World stories. And that was not something that I was comfortable with. It's not that I have other Hollywood people beating down my door or anything yet. But, you know, to sell one piece of it I'd be signing away the rights to one of the stories. It'd be a big complicated mess. And it's just not something I'm interested in. If someone wants to pay X amount of dollars to buy the rights to make film adaptations of all of it, and then they can do whatever the hell they want with it, so be it, man.
Ooh, but like I'm not Trick or Treat?
Yeah, exactly.
That'd be sweet. It would be like 24 hours long.
I've always said, ideally, in a perfect world, what I'd love to do is do, like a Cartoon Network, like little 15-minute episodes, and maybe draw them all in different styles with different animators.
Sure.
Kind of like the Animatrix did, or Batman Gotham Knights, or, yeah, and I mean, in Trick or Treat, basically bilked what I did as a film, and that's fine. They'll go to hell and burn. So, but how did I say that? Whatever. Hey, look, he's got a pumpkin for a head. Get it? It's like, really? Bad enough that you take anyway.
Back to what you were saying.
Back to what I was doing. I mean, when you do this online since 2002 and you give everything away, stuff's bound to, you know, there's bound to be crossover. They're not the first people nor the last to do something like that, I'm sure. But anyway, but I'm like, yeah, cool, man. You know, yeah. Well, you know, I mean, I told him, appreciate it, said, but, you know, I'm not going to really sell just one little piece of the whole thing. I can't. I'm not going to do that. I can't do it. I mean, as you and I were talking before the show, you know, whether it be the whole Alan Moore before Watchmen thing, or you got the whole Tony Moore versus Kirkman, you got all these different issues going on, and that's just not something I'm interested in doing, because I'm sure Hollywood lawyers are much bigger than mine anyway, who sure. I pay in breadsticks. So I did tell him, though. I said, you know what I can do is I will write something for you guys. And one of the things that Tony really liked about Nightmare World, and anyone that reads the series knows, is it's horror, but it's not the traditional, kitschy, stereotypical, nonsensical, you know, cliched horror stuff. And he really liked that, and he really wanted me to bring that same sensibility to Black Box. Well, then he reveals to me that, sure enough, this is a real thing. Anybody that's kind of been paying attention to this stuff knows that people like YouTube and Netflix are all starting to get into exclusive programming. Netflix is, I think, bringing back Arrested Development exclusively for Netflix. YouTube's doing something similar, that they're starting a bunch of niche channels. One of the channels they're creating is a horror movie channel that's going to be done by Tony B, who, again, they saw his work he did online and loved it. The guy gets him like a million hits or some crazy amount of hits on his movies. And the guy that's kind of teaming up with Tony for this new premium channel is Anthony Zucker, who is the guy that co-created the CSI. Or at least created or co-created. I don't remember which one, but like the huge television franchise.
That's right.
So I find this out, and of course I crap my pants, and I'm like, oh my God, this is real. And we start talking and things like that. And I've never written a screenplay before. You know, I write comics. I write comics for myself. Everything I've done, with very rare exception, is my own work. I did ask to do, I really love the web comic series Terra Normal, by Howie. I did a 4-page sequence for that because I love the strip and I just wanted to kind of work with that character a little bit. But by and large, I own everything I do. So me working for hire with them was a real change, but, I respected Tony. I respected what he's doing. And I said, like I said, I will write something for you guys. They brought a very basic concept to me, and we started fleshing it out. I owe big props to David Borstein. He is very, very, very good at what he does. And I kind of now, for the last couple months, been really wrapped up in this whole Hollywood screenwriting process, which, let me tell you, is it's pretty amazing. It's pretty crazy. It's a lot of it is kind of like this writing by committee.
Okay.
It's a whole new way of writing, and it's long story short. Yeah, and I didn't announce anything. Like, I kept waiting for like the bottom to fall out on this, but I got the contract. My lawyer looks over the contract, I'm like, no, dude, this is real.
Now give me my breadsticks.
Yeah, give me my breadsticks. Stuffed pepperoni ones. Flies buzzing around in this alley. And, you know, no, actually, I have a fairly.
I gotta get back in.
Yeah, I gotta get back. I gotta go serve the soup. I was going to hear this and like, you know what? A-hole. At least give the competitor's name so that, you know. No, but it's a guy that I worked with and referred to when we did the MTV gig with Lars Seeker and stuff. I mean, very, very good. Knows and stuff. I'm very fortunate that he puts up with these crazy things that come up. Because I call him up and I'm like, dude, I'm getting a Hollywood contract. I need you to look this over. He's like, yeah, right. I'm like, no, really. But it's just... And Yeah, I mean, I'm actually halfway through the first draft of the script right now. We went through several drafts of the outline. Tony and I talked about it. David, I entered what he's called David's Dojo, would just whoop my ass on stuff. And because I've very rarely worked with an editor. Usually what you see in Nightmare World is, or Tales of Mystery, is by and large from me to the artist to the page. And I'm not ashamed to say I've learned a lot. I've learned a lot about also just telling the stories in a visual moving medium. It's a whole different way to tell stories, and there's a whole different process that goes into it. And it's, I'd like to think I brought some of my sensibilities to what they do, and they've definitely brought a lot of their sensibilities to me. I can definitely see why a lot of movie guys like to write comics, because you don't have all these hoops. But that being said, as a guy that's worked by myself for, well, you know, 13 years or whatever, it's been good to get this involvement and get this collaboration and thumb wrestle about different aspects of things. And it's cool, man. But like I said, things are moving forward. I know the Black Box channel will be launching on YouTube soon. I believe I'm episode 5. I mean, you can believe that people will hear about it.
Right.
It's going to be a really big deal. It's going to be a really big deal. I've done this one. There is a possibility I'll be writing more for them, but we're going to kind of see how this first one goes. But thus far, they've been telling me they've been really impressed, really happy that I've been right on level with all these professional screenwriters. You know, here they bring in this comic book guy, and I've been hanging with them, trading punches with them without a problem. So,
well, let me ask you this. You know, you mentioned YouTube and all of that. It might be too soon to even know the answer to this, but is this something where you have to watch it when it airs? Is it accessible at all times?
I would hope, and I would imagine it's one of those things that's going to be accessible at all times. What, you know, and I know there's some people like, oh, a Hollywood deal through YouTube. You know, but it's like, and, you know, like you and I were talking about before the show, it's like, yeah, that's like in 2002, people were saying, putting comic books on the internet, that's pretty stupid, giving your stuff away. Yeah, I was discovered because of that ass hat.
Right. That's right, ass hat. I think that's the first ass hat on this show.
Another first with Dirk Manning. I would imagine it's going to follow the same YouTube model, because, you know, again, I mean, you know, hey, if you really want to watch some cool horror movies, go to the Black Box TV channel on YouTube.
Right.
Here's a whole ton of them. They're about 15 minutes each. You can sit down, watch one, whatever, while you're doing your thing, playing Angry Bird, whatever. You can sit down and watch them. I mean, God, now you can watch your stuff through your TV. You can watch stuff on YouTube through your television or your Xbox or PlayStation or whatever. I would imagine it'd be archived down there forever. I mean, this is their channel, and they made a great point in this article I was reading all about this, you know. They were talking about how the top 5 YouTube channels would rank in the top 20 cable channels on television when you just look at the number of views they get.
Right, right.
And there's some people, of course, they're saying this is the death knell of standard television. And at first I kind of poo-pooed that idea, but then the more I think about it, I'm like, why not? You know, I mean, we are still in the infancy of all this. I mean, YouTube just started recently. You know, I mean, I talk to students at college all the time about the fact that, man, when I was in high school, I took typing on a typewriter. You know, I mean, it wasn't, I'm not an old guy. It wasn't that long ago. And to see this thing now where, again, you know, YouTube picks up Tony because he just does great, what I call self-published work, and giving him his own network. Why not? You know, I mean, this is a real big thing. And I'm just really proud and I'm really excited that yet again, I can kind of be on the cutting edge of this and being on the ground floor and really start pushing people in this direction because, you know, you and I are obviously big horror fans. It's like, it would be wonderful to be able to go to, I mean, I know there's like the Chiller TV and things like that. But to be able to go to YouTube and like, oh, look, cool. Here's another season of, these Black Box TV movies I like. And I can watch one a week or whatever it is for the next, sure. 13 weeks, whatever the number will be, you know. Man, awesome. You know, I mean, hell, that's what we're doing right now with Walking Dead, the television show. We all got to watch our 6 episodes. We go to the TV. We flock to the TV Sunday night. Even the people that complain, they watch it.
I don't watch it.
Well, okay. I like the show. I will go to bat for the show anytime. The pacing's a little different in the second season than the first, but that's okay. The payoff was worth it, and we'll see how it goes. But, you know, it's that same thing where why not? And it's free. And we all spend so much time at a computer. Or now you can access YouTube through your smartphones and things like that.
Right.
This is really a big deal. And I think that I think a couple of years from now, this is going to – we're really going to see a moment like this with YouTube entering premium programming is going to be real – is going to – we're going to look back at this being one of the big game changers in regards to how we get entertainment. And then you're like, they're like, way back, I'll be one of the OGs, I guess. So, but that's it. I'm just really, really stoked about this. I can't give away any real details on the story or anything yet, the episode that I'm doing for them. Aside to say that the second to last, or maybe it was even the last draft of the outline I wrote before I went to script. Cause you know, I get everything approved, you know, in process.
Right.
I freaked them out, like in a good way. Good.
Oh, that,
I freaked them out, like in a oh my god. I'm like, well, yeah, you know, yeah. And I really rattled their cage a little bit. And I'm not a. And obviously, let me preface this by saying, anyone that reads my work knows, I'm not a blood and boobies guy. I'm not an excessive violence guy. Tales of Mystery, which can be read at ShadowLineOnline.com. is a little more hard-edged than Nightmare World was, but for the most part, it's quick. And I didn't become a gore hound doing a movie or anything. I don't like gore in movies either. I think it's very hard to pull off, and it's often, more often than not, very childish and cheap and doesn't look good.
Mm-hmm.
But the sheer nature of the... I really got to a point where I embraced the moving picture aspect of things. And gave them some stuff that was pretty visceral. And they're almost like, whoa. I'm like, man, you guys are paying me for this. You can do whatever you want. I'll do whatever you want to do it. But it was pretty cool that here's these guys who are like, wow, man. I mean, they loved the story. Then they're like, in that scene, you know, da-da-da-da-da. I don't want to say where it is in the episode. But it's pretty cool. It's pretty it's scary. I really believe that horror should be unsettling, and I've said this, you know, a million times in my numerous appearances on your shows too. Horror should be unsettling, and it should make you think about the world a different way. And I guess that brings me to one more thing I should add too.
All right, we gotta make it quick. Okay. I'm watching this clock.
Real quick. Every negative stereotype and preconceived notion I had about working with Hollywood guys has been totally proven wrong by Tony and David. Joshua. I mean, these guys, they actually all came from Detroit originally, and they moved out there because that's where they had to go to make films. Amazing guys, an amazing experience. They've been totally cool about everything. They've been totally supportive. They've listened to my ideas. They've given me good ideas. It's just been an incredibly positive experience. And I just can't wait to actually finally be able to start directing people to Black Box TV on YouTube. It's just going to be amazing. People can go look at a bunch of the old stuff online right now anyway of the season one. The new stuff's going to be insane, dude. I've had access to a little bit of it, and people are going to lose their minds. Then they're going to see mine, and they're totally going to lose their minds.
All right, well, we got 2 minutes to cover the rest of this stuff.
Okay.
All right. Where are you going to be and this year? I know it's early in the year, but what shows you got planned?
C2E2. San Diego Comic-Con with Shadowline for the first time ever.
Oh, somebody's going to the big boy dance.
Yeah, I've been able to be brought up there. That's insane. I'm going to be out there with Shadowline. And then after that, I might be doing Horror Hound, which is a horror show in Columbus, Ohio. And then Detroit Fanfare, baby. And I'll be doing, I think, in my free comic book day appearance. Again, we'll be at Pack Rat Comics in Hilliard, Ohio, down by Columbus. They've been real good to me. I think I'm going to be hanging out with them again.
Very cool. Very cool. One thing that we wanted to, well, we kind of figured this out before we started recording.
Yeah.
This is Dirk's sixth appearance on the show.
Six times!
This is the 80th episode of Discussions. If you divide, well, if we figure out an average
right.
for Dirk, it's 13.
I've been on every, every 13 episodes, there's a Dirk Manning appearance, which makes Dirk Manning the Mr. Mixelplix of Discussions with Captain Dan.
So because of that, and because of, you know, the 13 and all that has to, and what that has to do with Nightmare World and everything else that you have.
Mr. E is going to be 13 chapters. The first
See, you've got it all planned out. You're doing this on purpose.
I didn't. You invited me on this show. I didn't. Yeah. Pulling the strings.
And it's totally, it is completely random. It's not like if you go back every 13 episodes, Dirk is there. His average is 13.
Right, right.
But from now on, we will make it 13.
Yes.
On purpose.
That's,
on purpose.
That's phenomenal. We have to do that. We have to pace it out that way.
Yes, so that will be done. All right, drop some sights on us, and we'll call it an interview.
Awesome. Again, I'm on Facebook, facebook.com/Dirk Manning. If you want to add me on there, something totally cool, just, you know, send a little message. Hey, I heard you with Decapitated Dan, and I'll say, oh, you're the man. I'm on Twitter, twitter.com/Dirk Manning. People can read Nightmare World and Tales of Mystery at shadowlineonline.com. And I'll tell you what, if you've been hearing about Mystery and haven't dove into it yet, we're in chapter 11 of 13 right now. Now's the time. It's all coming together now, baby. And it's just, it's huge. It's huge. It's just literally, it's becoming epic right now. Those are the big places. You know, you can check out Nightmare World. You can get the three trade paperbacks on Amazon or at Comixology, and, or read web versions online for free, and read Tales of Mystery every Tuesday and Thursday online for free. And keep an eye on my Twitter and Facebook for Black Box, and keep an eye on Newsarama. I'll be doing another Right or Wrong column there pretty soon here as well.
We'll throw a quick shout out. You know, we have talked about Mystery before, but if you want to hear Dirk go in depth on Tales of Mystery,
yeah.
check out Why I Love Comics number 70 with him and Eric Radcliffe. I think you guys went about 2 hours.
Oh.
In total. And you guys went over a good amount of topics, but you did spend a good amount of time on Tales of Mystery.
We did. We did spend a very good amount of time on Tales of Mystery. People have been incredibly supportive of that from the beginning. And now that we're in the third act of the series, I mean, people are just losing their minds, as they should be, because it's all coming together. And anyone just looking for, I mean, obviously anyone listening to the show is looking for something, a good horror comic to read. Go to shadowlineonline.com, go to the webcomic section, Tales of Mystery, enjoy. You will love it. And we update religiously every Tuesday and Thursday without fail.
Say, oh, you got to give your rhyme.
Oh, yes. On the days of the week that start with T, you'll find yourself some mysteries. And it's so funny, I just got a little message on YouTube again, like, yesterday. Someone's like, oh my god, I just figured out his name is Mystery.
Oh my god.
It always happens. I'm like, you're not going to be the last one. I'm waiting for, like, you know, like, Jim Valentino or something. Like, wait a minute. Oh, that's funny. Yeah, boss.
All right. Well, we got to wrap this up.
We got to wrap it up.
So, as always, Dirk, it is a pleasure. And I will see you again, or talk to you again, on episode 93.
And I think, but I will see you, I think, before that at C2E2. We'll have to, I'll have to give a pen name on the air or something so we don't ruin this. But we'll talk. I look forward to seeing you guys at C2E2. So.
Yeah, we will see you then.
Shirley Temples abound.